Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I think there is more pressure this offseason on Brandon Bean than Sean McDermott. And I'm also going to say that I know that full well. Sean McDermott will get fired before Brandon Bean, but I think there is a ton of pressure on Brandon Bean this year to get it right.
This is the Buffalo Plus Podcast, brought to you by Connors and Ferris.
All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Plus Podcast, presented by Connors and Ferris. Mike Catalana, Dan Fates, I am Jenna Cottrell. Please be sure to like, comment, and subscribe to the podcast as we get that much closer to 30,000 subscribers. We're almost there.
Yep.
So, all right, let's talk about it. We're going to do our best Brandon Bean for a day, talking about the salary cap, where the Bills are at. So, again, why not? I'm going to hit it again. Like, comment, and subscribe
as we get
closer to 30. We do really appreciate it. I know some people like, it's annoying you say it. It really does help out our channel. So that's why that's why we say it.
All right. Believe me, we have things that annoy people way more than that.
I was just say, Dan.
On the podcast, that should be enough.
All right, Mike, let's start with you.
Yeah.
Brandon Bean for a day. What stands out to you the most as we kind of look at this?
Well, one, I want to be more than for a day. Okay, I need some more time to map this out. And two,
that's fair.
I want Brandon Bean to show he is the best kicker in the franchise, and just kick that can down the road.
I was like, I'm confused.
That is what I want. You're in it. You got Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Salary cap. Manipulate it. Work around it. It's not simple. No, it is simple. It's not easy. There's things you need to do.
Yes.
It's a little more work. Right? It's a little studying. He can handle it. Kick the can down the road. Doesn't mean you got to spend like a drunken sailor, as they used to say, but it does mean you can do things. You can do things. This team can make cap space out of thin air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then put a roster out there that is worthy of Josh Allen and go try to win it.
Yeah. Two things like really annoy me.
And I'm sure, only two?
Yeah, and I'm sure people are like, there's a lot of things that annoy them about me or things like that. One is this thought of also like, if you kick the can down the road, like everybody always talks about it, and like it's part of our joke, right? It's part of the bit of like, hey, the salary cap isn't real and all of these things. And everybody automatically goes to the Saints. Everybody instantly goes, what are you talking about, Dan? Like eventually the Saints, like you got to eventually pay up for it. The Saints stunk. Their quarterback got old, and that's when they had to make decisions, and players weren't playing well. That's when all of a sudden you have to pay up because you don't want to kick it down the road anymore. My question is that why nobody also compares them to, or when we talk salary cap, the Rams seem to be doing just fine.
Yeah.
Remember Les Snead? Who needs picks? Like all these things. I looked it up. The Rams heading into this year had $75 million in dead cap. So that was a third of their team's salary was assigned to players.
Wow.
That weren't playing for the team.
It's unbelievable.
And then another nearly third of their salary cap was tied up in three players: Stafford, Kupp, and Aaron Donald.
And their quarterback is what? 8 years older than Josh Allen?
Yeah.
So again, you're in the middle of it with Josh Allen.
So I guess that annoys me when people automatically think, okay, well, the salary cap, like you eventually turn into the Saints.
No. The Saints have made a lot of mistakes.
I was going to say, I think the Saints are a cautionary tale for if you don't properly execute things down the line. But that doesn't mean, just because it happened to them, doesn't mean it's going to happen to the Bills.
Well, and that's it. Like, obviously, they went all in 2021. And I remember at the Combine last year, like, would you make a move to go all in? That was like the big thing. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, in 2022, the Rams struggled. Everybody was injured that year. And so it's like, boy, everybody's injured. You go 5-12 and you don't have any of these picks. Like part of that is just, we've talked about it before. Like it's just unlucky. Like players got hurt. Stafford was hurt the whole season. Obviously, when you don't, when your star quarterback that is pretty much based around your team, Cooper Kupp was injured, like, they're just not going to be good. That had nothing to do with the salary cap or the fact that they didn't have draft picks.
Well, unlucky. They didn't. They traded those picks to get those players.
Yeah.
The Bills have drafted or made deals to get most of their core players now. Mm-hmm. So it's a very different circumstance. Not like they've been throwing number one picks away. Well, they did draft Elam, but they've not been throwing them away to other teams. So, yeah, I'm with you. Kick the can.
Okay, and sorry, go ahead, Jenna.
No, go ahead. You're on one right now. I want you to keep doing it.
This was part of it. And so I go, the way that you can manipulate things and the salary cap, we talk about it, you know, snap your fingers, all of a sudden there's more money made. You need to draft. You need to draft well.
Yeah.
That is what the Rams have done. They hit on Puka Nacua. They hit on Kyren Williams. Fifth round picks that are all of a sudden probably the two out of the five best offensive young players in the game. Like, all of a sudden, the Rams are no longer rebuilding. They have pieces, and all of a sudden, their salary cap's fine. You hit on picks.
That is the secret sauce to make this all work. And that's the thing that will come under scrutiny for Brandon Bean. Look, I think Bean has done a pretty good job in terms of the draft, but there's obviously, you mentioned Kaiir Elam. There has been big situations where the Bills have not done a good job in terms of whatever it was that made them pick that player. But I think about that, and you're right, Dan. That brings up a really good point of how you can continue and be kind of the poster child for, hey, this team, they do a great job getting underneath the cap. They make savvy deals, but it's also because of who you're drafting, the role that they're fulfilling, and how important that is.
Look at the Bills roster. I mean, you drafted Khalil Shakir in what, fifth round?
Yep.
I believe.
You drafted, Terrell Bernard in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you fill your roster.
Exactly.
When those guys are good, when you're sitting here looking, going, those are two, well, Bernard, I think, may be the most important player on the defense.
Agreed.
He's right there with Ed Oliver, because until they get him some help. And then you look on the offensive side, I mean, it's obviously Josh Allen, but Shakir has become a prominent player, at least in terms of their plans going forward. And you got him in the fifth round.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when you make those picks, all of a sudden your roster looks a lot better.
Even James Cook too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And, but again, there were swings and misses at running backs that led up before that.
Yep.
So like, you can't just forget about, you know,
Zach Moss
and Devin Singletary was fine and other pieces like that. But that leads me to this hot take.
Oh, here we go. He's not waiting for it.
First of all, right before you do this, I need to make an addendum. We cannot let you have a Celsius before you come to the podcast.
I just opened it.
Well, maybe it's sort of osmosis, and it just.
Well, and this is one of those things of like, we talk about like windows closing and all those things. Like, here's one for you, and this is I.
Nobody, the straw man, Dan loves.
He's building that. Go ahead.
No, I was thinking about this, and we talked about like, hey, like being Brandon Bean for an off season. Like, what would you do, and what would you tell him, and what do we think Bean should do here? I think there is more pressure this offseason on Brandon Bean than Sean McDermott. And I'm also going to say that I know that full well. Sean McDermott will get fired before Brandon Bean, but I think there is a ton of pressure on Brandon Bean this year to get it right, because you have a lot of the pieces. And Sean McDermott has shown that even with injuries, he can still put out a quality product on the field. Defensively, offensively, like, they can make things work. But now with the salary cap becoming what it is and some of those contracts that you have made, you now, Brandon, like, the Von Miller thing's kind of on you. Like, we've talked about
it.
Yeah. Like the Kyrie Elam one, it's kind of on you. Like, where is Diggs and all of these things? Bean's got to right some of his wrongs that he's made. And he's got 10 draft picks this year. So, like, he's got to hit on these ones, like we've said, and we can't get there and go looking for another Gabe Davis. Like, Khalil Shakir is great. He's great. Like we like what he is. You still need another
top
of the line guy. So yeah. So while it's great that you got some of these role players that fit in and all this stuff, you need to hit on some stars. Well, and that's why I think there's more pressure on Bean this year, this offseason. It was always like, hey, there's no more pressure on Sean McDermott. He's got to erase 13 seconds. He's got to do all these things, get over the hump. Yes. Yeah, I get that. But it's Bean's job this offseason to fix some things that he's messed up.
Well, this is right now we're in Bean season though.
Yeah,
because,
oh, no doubt.
Because we have the combine coming up later on. You guys are going to it. We have after that free agency, then the draft, of course, that comes after that. So this is peak Brandon Bean season. But I see what you're saying, because the Bills this season did show that Sean McDermott and the team, like you talked about, there were injuries, there were struggles throughout. They still got to the divisional round. How can they get past that? That's still another piece. But the same moment for Brandon Bean, like, yeah, Von Miller's contract, he's gonna be 35. That looks tough. Okay. And you really don't have a lot of wiggle room in terms of getting out of that. How do you add to the offense? You saw what we saw in the playoffs of sometimes it just takes scoring more points or having more weapons or having a different option. So this will be really interesting to see what direction Brandon Bean will go, especially knowing that you have 10 picks. So there is ammo there. There is packaging deals. I don't expect them to use all of those. But then, too, the salary cap and what that situation means.
I mean, it helps when you have players on rookie deals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's part of why I think Chicago will draft Caleb Williams or a quarterback, because it's a lot cheaper than having to pay a franchise quarterback. And like, in that sense, you kick the can down the road of having to pay a franchise guy.
Yeah. Well, yes, you're in that spot. If you're talking about a team like the Bears, keep this in mind with number one draft picks, right? Cause you got the fifth year option and all those things that come up. Teams can get out of it after 4 years if they just decide to not do that. But in the Bills case, you know, like they have had some later round picks that have done well.
Yeah.
Christian Benford is a good example. Now you're stuck with the Elam thing. I was going to say this as my hot take, and I've already taken a shot at him when we got started, but I'm going to make this my hot take. I still think Kaiir Elam has a role on this team, and I think it changed dramatically when John Butler left the franchise. He's not a fan of Kaiir Elam.
That's interesting.
And I think they know he is a talented player. He has ability. I think we can all agree the guy can play in the NFL. Maybe he's in the wrong system. Maybe he didn't have his confidence, whatever it is. But they didn't trade him when they could have semi-given him away, got rid of the contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big, I had it written down here, his cap hit is $8 million, dead cap, if they were to move on from him. I think different sets of eyes on him this year. I don't think they've given up on him yet.
That's interesting. He reminds me so much of Tremaine Edmonds in the terms of a guy that you thought had all the measurables. I mean, look, Tremaine Edmonds was a physical specimen, but Kaiir Elam, a taller guy, obviously offsetting Trey White.
Tremaine was pretty good at football, is pretty good at football.
What I'm saying is that you drafted this guy in the first round. Tremaine Edmonds is a better football player than Kaiir Elam. I also think, too, the Bills fell in love with some of those immeasurables and the projection that is involved with every player that you draft.
Yeah.
But you thought the ceiling would be higher, probably, for Tremaine Edmonds. And I think you thought absolutely the ceiling would be higher for
John Butler's a really good football coach. From what we've been told, not a big fan of Kaiir Elam, the player. Nothing about the guy. I don't know. But it's, not a fan. And he's the guy that controlled a lot of that in terms of what they did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying to you is this team's going to need to find guys in different ways. Having a guy on your roster who was a number one pick, and you're going to need guys to step up and play in different roles, especially when we can get to some of the other things they may do.
Yeah,
I just have a feeling he's still going to have a role.
Okay.
It's interesting. I like that.
All right. Talking about corner, though.
Yep.
Well, I was going to say, when like finishing off on like the big picture and like also like you talk about finding players or finding new roles and kind of that role, like that's what the Rams have done kind of well, is like you have to get creative. Like that's what we really talk about with the salary cap, was that like it's all fun and games and things like that. Like, oh, saying it's not real and things like that. You just have to get creative. And you also have to get creative with finding players, because that goes again to Deontay Hardy and Trent Sherfield and these guys that being brought in that just didn't have an impact. So you have to find guys like the Rams. They had second round picks this past season. They drafted Brian Young and Kobe Turner.
Yeah.
They were rookies. 9 sacks and 8 sacks.
Yeah.
Like,
well, even the Chiefs, like with their secondary and Trent McDuffie and players like that were younger guys who made an immediate impact.
Yeah, you could have certainly made an argument for him as defensive rookie of the year. He was a finalist.
Yeah.
And I mean, they really got good play. And Puka Nacua. Incredible. He was their best receiver.
Yeah, he's better than Kupp. Like, they had Kyren Williams and Puka that were like, yeah, they're in great hands now. Like, yeah, like moving forward offensively with a guy, Sean McVay, great play caller.
Great play caller and a better game coach than the guy we saw in the Super Bowl. Yeah.
You talk about the Rams and what they've been able to do. I also think, and how much pressure is on Brandon Bean this season. Mm-hmm. I think it is important to also talk about how you talked about Trent Sherfield and guys like Deontay Hardy, how ineffective they were. And they weren't expected to have a huge role on this offense, obviously, but even underperforming in the role that was expected.
What are you talking about? They won the division for them.
He's salty.
That one game.
It was a big game.
It was a big game. Yeah. That Trent Sherfield catch, I feel like I could have made that, mostly because it took very little skill and a lot of luck.
Long legs and arms. Yeah.
I got wingspan. I went to the gym. Somebody goes, thought you were taller on TV. I was like, well, that's a lie. All right. We were talking about corner before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trey White and that thought experiment is interesting because I feel like you see a lot of people out there saying there's no way White is back, and coming off, you know, another season ending injury with the Achilles, there is so much discussion. Mike, he was the guy that was first drafted, Sean McDermott's first draft pick. He means so much to this team. How much do you think kind of the locker room, though, as well as paying attention to what the Bills will do with him? Because he's battled injury. He's been a guy that's been a part of the process. What do you think that aspect is?
I think that's tough. But there's a reality in this league, and the players all know it. It's 2 years in a row. It just is. And it's cold, hard facts of this league. And look, they've learned how to play without Trey White.
Mm-hmm.
They just have.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
And I think he's going to be gone. I think he's going to be gone. I think he's got to pass his physical first before they can do anything.
Yeah.
And we'll see how he comes back. I know the guy works hard.
Yeah.
We know it.
Yeah.
Everybody in the organization has said it. And he came back, but this is now back-to-back years with serious injuries.
And I think it's important to note that when he did come back, and it's expected because ACL tear is not an oil change, but it took him a while to be the Trey White that we expected. And
I think he was good.
But again, I felt like, you know, it was a full year before he came back. He came back on Thanksgiving a year later. Like, I think it took him a little bit. He had the off season. And then this year, it really did feel like things were coming into place until that Miami game.
I think he was coming into place as a really good football player.
Mm-hmm.
But not Trey White. I just think that there's tough decisions to make, and this is one that's organizationally going to be a hard one.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be gone.
I mean, there are a lot of emotional decisions for this franchise.
Yeah.
Micah Hyde, Trey White.
Well, the Micah Hyde one is...
Yeah, he's under contract.
I shouldn't say it's on him.
Correct.
But the Bills then would have to turn around and sign him.
Correct.
Jordan Poyer still has a year left on his deal. I think they're giving Micah Hyde, obviously, a lot of space.
Yep.
If he were to come back, if they decided, mm-hmm, made that, I don't think it's a huge money thing.
Nope.
I think it's yeah.
But at least that starts from the player side. I think the point you're making about Trey is very different because it starts from the organization.
Yeah, they would be the ones.
You guys haven't experienced this very often covering the team. I covered the team one day when they cut on the same day Bruce Smith, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed.
Wow.
But that's a full turning of the page.
Right, but it still was
still
Thurman Thomas, Smith, Andre Reed, gone.
Thurman wasn't very good at the end, correct?
They were all... Well, Bruce still put up pretty good numbers. Andre moved around a little bit. Thurman
went to Miami.
Thurman, Miami.
Yeah. Mm. It's always a good one.
I think of him as Buffalo Bill as anybody, yeah. And you forget Miami. Really. But
so I'm
saying is it's hard when you see this. The players you feel like are so tied to your franchise, and then they're gone. I certainly could be wrong. I mean, they see Trey. They know how he is physically.
Yeah. We did see him in the locker room on locker cleanout.
Yeah.
That was the first time since Miami, I think, that Miami game in October, September.
Yeah, I think he's changed a lot in a perspective way.
Yeah.
I think that's what we saw a lot about after the ACL injury. And then obviously with the Achilles injury. Trey used to be a very bubbly,
yeah,
charismatic guy.
Like, vivacious.
Yeah, like he was the one that would drop in the back of scrums in the locker room. Like he would then all of a sudden he'd be running around in like hockey pads and things like that. Like we've definitely seen a more reserved side, mm-hmm, of Trey as he's become a father. And he's done that because he's led us into those moments at training camp and things like that has been really cool. I'm going to kind of pull a card out of Jenna's book. When I remember, like, Jenna, it was 2 years ago and it was Jerry Hughes.
Jerry Hughes to come back.
And we were like, hey, by the way, like Jerry Hughes, like,
I know,
ain't it anymore. And it was like, you had to make that tough decision. I'm on Jenna's side here. I don't think you treat Trey White like just another player that got cut. I think what he means to this locker room, what he means to this coaching staff, what he means to the organization, I think deserves more leeway because of it. And to Jenna's point, like when you say those things, like if you were to say straight up, like, hey man, like we're done, like the injuries suck, like that's part of football, but we're really unfortunate, but like we got to move on. That sends big waves through a locker room for a team that is still very close. This isn't like when did they cut Bruce and Thurman and all them? 90s.
Oh God. It's got to be 99. Yeah, 98? It was like 98, 99. I tried the years. They all run together.
Like they weren't competing and like still feeling close.
Yeah, they had been in the playoffs. I'm saying to you is in that room, to a lot of the players on this roster that has turned over a lot, and especially this offseason where it may also turn over with Poyer and Hyde, it's a different locker room now. And there, a lot of young guys have had limited time on the field with Trey White. They just have. And this is the world that we live in the NFL.
No, I mean, this is why I asked. It's an emotional.
Oh, I don't And look, I think they would do it in a way with conversations
Mike
and where
heartless.
They are.
Heartless.
Hey, I'm trying to win a championship here as the GM. Yeah, Jenna, and I'm not kidding.
Jenna, watch our backs.
No, you know what I would do if I were Brandon B for a day? Go golfing.
Yeah. Well, you'd become a lot better golfer.
I know. He's a scratch golfer.
There's certain tough decisions. Now, listen, I'm trying to get in the head of Brandon Bean as, mm-hmm, he builds this team. He may still believe that, God, it's my one shot here. Dan's messing with the camera. He may believe in his mind, they may believe that he's still a number one guy or at least a starter.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and they believe that he's got another, maybe they believe that. I don't know.
I think it is important to know Rasul Douglas, and they really like Christian Benford.
And part of the Rasul Douglas deal was the fact that he's still under contract.
Yeah.
So I'm just telling you, if he's not going to be a starter, he's not going to be in Buffalo.
Agreed.
That would be sad. Would be sad.
I was the one that was like, hey, like tough decisions. Like,
I would agree with you.
It's different.
It's sad. It's hard. It could have some ripples in the locker room. Sometimes you got to make those decisions.
Is it a ripple that needs to be sent?
That's where I don't know.
Okay, but we don't know 100% what they believe. I just said to you.
Well, obviously.
I think
thanks, Captain Obvious.
No, but there are some breadcrumbs. You make that trade for Rasul Douglas with years left on his deal. It would have been cheaper to go after a corner who's a free agent at the end of the year, and then you let him walk.
It says more about what they think about Kyrie Elam.
No, because they still have Christian Benford.
So you only play one corner?
No, you got Trey White on the other side. Hear me out. They're saving a spot for Trey? I don't know if they are.
I think it says more about Kyrie Elam.
I agree. I think if they could move on from Kyrie, I think you cut
losses.
You
might be right. I'm saying to you
Dan, we're agreeing a lot.
This is
That's trouble for you. I'm saying to you that you got your, let's just see how it plays out.
Yeah.
And then I can walk around and. No, I can't. I wouldn't see, I was tap say, myself you, on the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see, can't Dan's do, got, not, I was going to say, Dan's so got you there.
I'm so
he got
good. Me
here. Yeah. You're so good. And this would be, it would definitely
be. And then I
be
get a, to pat myself on the back if he stays, which I would gladly do.
Yeah. I just remember it was one of the, I can't remember who came up with what was getting paid. Maybe it was before Vaughn. Because it's one of those things I remember telling you, like, you have to extend Trey. You have to extend Trey. You have to get it done sooner rather than later because it sends, like, you've always talked about it. Like, when there are contracts.
That's different.
I'm talking about the message that it sends in 100%. A locker room. When all of a sudden, when a player who's been there for a long time wants an extension, is played well enough to earn an extension, and the team kind of plays hardball with him, but then finds $120 million somewhere else. It's like, I remember, like, if I was Poyer after they signed Vaughn, like, hey, man, where was my money? Hey, like, all of a sudden, that sends shockwaves through a locker room, sends ripples. That's what I said. I go, eventually, you have to look around, and guys that are getting paid and guys that are not getting paid, and you're looking around going, how come he's getting paid and he's not? I understand. It's the business. Don't
Players
give me these.
Are rarely surprised.
I don't think that's true.
They are rarely surprised.
I think that they would actually be an interesting question to ask.
You would never,
never get an answer.
Yeah.
Like off you don't camera. Talk
about First of all, they paid Trey.
No, but I'm saying, yes, it would have to be a candid conversation, obviously.
This
but
team has played 40 games over the last 2 years, right? Roughly two seasons.
Yeah, about.
Somewhere around 40 games. Trey White's been on the field for probably 12 of them.
Yeah.
This franchise has gotten used to playing without him. That's all I'm telling you. The game moves on.
Do you think that they would rather have him on the field?
There's a lot of things that play into that.
I agree.
There's the money. There's the idea. Because everybody talks about playing with dead cap space. This year, they played with three players with dead cap space. Yep. Matt Milano, Trey White, and Von Miller.
Yep.
And Von Miller was on the field.
I agree.
But it was so dead cap space for this year.
Yep.
So they got used to it. They've gotten used to it. There's a point where, and maybe they do. Maybe Bean would feel like it's not worth the dead money. To move on?
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. They also may be saying something about it. Let's see what happens in free agency. Because sometimes you're signing, and not necessarily stars, but you're signing young guys.
When do they have to make that move on Trey? Oh. Like that decision.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what he's got in terms of any bonuses.
Yeah, that's what I was just wondering.
Usually like, would be the
because
case.
Again, I would think.
But he's still.
And, Jenna, we're not in the building because we don't really know what they think. I don't know if you.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But I think they're having, Mike's going to kill me. No, Mike is going to kill me.
I mean, Dan is phenomenal at building arguments, though. Where, like, you didn't say that, but.
I guess.
Because I'm saying is they've shown what they think, I think. I think they've
That's
shown.
That's fair.
They've built
I mean,
around it.
Even in Brandon Bean's press conference, he obviously left the door open saying, like, remember at the end of the season?
Yeah, what did he say about Trey?
He essentially said, it's not a direct quote, but, you know, we'll see how the process plays out.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, is fair.
It's funny because I think you want to know where Trey's head is.
No doubt.
Before you make the decision, because I think you go into free agency and you go into the draft, obviously differently. I think the Bills will proceed as if Micah Hyde is not coming back.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's smart,
and then
though.
If he pops up at training camp and says, I want to play again, I think they welcome him back for one more year.
It could very well be the case.
But I think you need to know sooner rather than later with Trey. That's why I didn't know if there was a deadline or anything because...
There might be.
That's what I'm saying. Like, hey, you got to make this decision by this time.
Because there's a roster bonus and it's first day of the...
So that was that June. I guess that's my thought is that I go, I think they can proceed...
Oh, they're going
to
have
to. With Micah of, we'll play it. Whenever Micah's ready, we'll wait for Micah. Because I don't think that ruffles any feathers. Again, you want to keep, you're going to need a third safety anyway. You know, if he's the two
okay.
or three.
I'm going to throw one more thing out here. We're not 100% sure because we're not
That's
in
so good.
The building.
So good.
Are you sure Trey wants to keep playing?
So I don't know. I would have automatically assumed before that he would, but I think that the ACL injury gave him a lot of perspective, like what we talked about. I think we saw a very different Trey White, a more poignant Trey White, I would say. I think he he really had to evaluate who he was as a person as opposed to a football player, which can be very eye-opening. And then that was after the ACL, let alone now after the Achilles. You mentioned he is a father. He has three kids. I would also understand if emotionally it's just too much.
And I don't see Trey as a guy trying to catch on with three different teams over a span.
No.
See Trey back home coaching his high school team
in Louisiana.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, I'm not saying he should quit or anything.
Correct.
I'm saying is he seems like a guy who would very much be at peace if it was done. Yeah. So be it.
And if, again, you talk about the Trey that we've gotten to know over the years, that he's been open enough with his personality and all those things. If anybody, you go back and watch his Zoom call when he got the extension, was like one of the 50 minutes that'll have a tissue box with you, because the emotion that he for how much, you know, telling his parents and all of these things, and that he did it, and to get out of Shreveport. And I sat down with him and did a story about what it was like for him coming out of Shreveport, Louisiana, and all that he does
as a quarterback,
and buying his mom a house and all of those things. Yeah. Like there, I think Trey's realized again, bigger things than football are out there. Like I said,
we don't,
I want Trey back. I want Trey back.
This was the hot take podcast, right?
Yeah.
I guess I
want Trey back. Yeah. I want Trey back.
Hey, I would tell you, this would be a better team if Trey's got a single shot of himself saying that. Did you see that?
No, I missed it.
That was good.
I want Trey back.
If Trey White is back as a good to high level corner, this is a better football team. I don't know what they think.
Is that a hot take?
No, I'm saying kidding. The hot take is,
I don't know, Jim. Wow, I was not expecting such a spirited dialogue, but that's fair. I think you talk about the salary cap. Restructuring contracts is going to be something we're going to see a lot of from Brandon Bean. Josh Allen comes to mind, his contract.
Oh, there goes $27 million. It's crazy how that works.
So Josh's dead cap hit, if anybody thinks they want to trade him or cut him, is $99 million.
Nice.
That would be a lot.
So you're saying there's a chance.
He'll get restructured. I think Milano could get restructured. I think Ed Oliver could get restructured.
Milano's is almost 30, right?
29.3, yes. Okay. Dawson Knox could.
Yep.
20.2. Ed Oliver's 26.5, and they can do that.
Yeah.
So we'll see what those are.
Deion's?
Deion's is not that high this year. It's only 11.8 dead cap.
Okay.
So I think the deal at where he is now. Let's talk Diggs.
Okay.
$31 million against the cap, dead cap.
Yeah, they're not moving him.
His new deal is just starting.
That is correct.
With the franchise. This idea, and I hear people talk about it like a deal and get rid of him. The cap hit stays with you. There are ways to lessen it a little bit. And maybe you spread it onto next year. So you're really kicking it down the road, but he's still your best wide receiver. He may not be what he was.
Exactly.
You're going to take this cap hit, like, what do you think? And I just don't see it happening in any way, shape or form that they deal him or cut him.
I just don't think, I don't think it's an option because of the dead cap. I think Diggs is in Buffalo, which we had a whole podcast talking about everything. You can check it out on the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel. Dan and I did. But do you think he's lost a step, Dan?
Lost a step from what, I think, it has to be the question. I think we went into last year. I think we probably would have said after week four, he's still a top five wide receiver. Do I still think he's a top five? Probably not. I don't think that's a hot take.
He's top
10?
10 to 15, somewhere in that range. Which still makes him, first of all, he's by far the best one you have.
Yeah.
And it's not like you could draft a guy, and which they will, I think, and should. But I'm just not moving on from Diggs.
It doesn't even seem like an option.
Yeah.
It's not.
I know a lot of Bills fans want Buffalo to draft a wide receiver in the draft too, which I understand. I also think
better.
Free agency, though, I think will be very telling and what they do and how they prepare their roster.
Well, you're going to need another, unless they, I don't know what they think about Shorter or guys like that, but you're going to need another receiver. Yeah, KJ Hamler, worth a shot. Guy's got a lot of speed.
Yeah.
These are the kind of guys you bring in. They'll be there at camp. You know, you see those guys. They need a replacement for Sherfield, right?
Yeah.
On the roster, that type of player. And your draft pick is going to replace Gabe Davis on the roster.
Yeah.
That's the way, right? Because,
I just don't want any more value. Like, again, we talked about, like, I like Khalil Shakir. Like he's still a fifth-round wide receiver. Will there be a spot for him on this team and then the system? Yes, absolutely. But, like, you need to find a wide receiver that can massively impact games. Like, you need a game-changing talent in this draft class. You need to hit on it. Like, it has to be somebody that can take some of the pressure off of Stephon Diggs, and it's not Gabe Davis.
Is that his hot take?
I have a question for you. Do you think you are always up saying that essentially that Chiefs game for Gabe Davis was a bit of a fool's gold flash in the pan? Yeah. How do you feel about Khalil Shakir?
Much more consistent span of the, especially the last half of the season, especially when he had, 17 targets, had 17 catches going back through that Dallas game. I think he became, and again, different player. You're not going to ask Khalil Shakir to have 75, 80 yards a game. Like, you need Khalil to go 4 for 50.
Yeah. Well, do you think we were asking too much of Gabe Davis?
No, all I was asking for was 5 for 70.
I think you were asking too much of Davis because he proved he's not that guy.
Yeah.
He proved it 2 years in a row. They thought they had it and they didn't. And if he finds it somewhere else, maybe he will. I said somebody commented to us and they were like, Gabe's going to get number one money. There's not that many wide receivers on the free agent market. That doesn't mean you get number one money. There is a ton of wide receivers in the draft that teams are going to be taking.
Yeah, there's a ton of depth there.
Yeah.
That's why I could see the Bills saying, maybe we go a different direction in the first round because there's so much depth.
I definitely could see that.
For wide receivers.
I'm
not saying I like that, Dan, but I'm saying I could
see.
That
would make me so sad. It would make me so sad.
Best player available. And hey, you know what? Great value. You know what great value is? The Walmart brand.
It's cereal in a bag. Why don't they
trade a fourth round pick for Ayuk and the Niners? That would be a good deal, right?
That would be a good deal.
Do you think they would go for that?
Yeah, maybe.
I would take him for a fourth, might even make it a third.
Hey, No, I got one better for it. Go get AJ Brown.
Yeah, his dead cap hit is only like $60 million. You got people saying they should trade AJ Brown.
Like, okay, I would love Mike Evans. I think you would have to pay too much, but I would love Mike Evans.
Yeah, that one's a tough one to fit that in based on where they are.
Yeah.
I think you want to go younger.
I agree.
I want to go young. That was the big note I had. Like, we talked about, like, what would Brandon Bean do? Like, it's younger everywhere. Like, it has to be. You have to get younger on the defensive line.
They had one of the oldest rosters in the league.
You have to get younger with
the skill position. But you can pick your spots with the older players. There may be some spots where you say, for 1 year,
like a Trey White.
Jones.
Like a Trey White.
Yeah, or Rasul Douglas.
Rasul's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Rasul's QB1.
CB1.
Oh, CB1. Yeah.
I didn't know if you did that on purpose.
No. Like, is Mike having a stroke?
Oh, believe me, it'd be way worse than that.
Oh, my God. I'm not putting that out there.
CB1. Yeah, CB1. He's CB1.
Yeah.
He is.
Oh, you talk about, like, being selective. Oh, actually,
Christian Benford.
Actually, CB1.
Yeah, he's the real CB1.
Are you okay?
This is just an old moment. Gonna clip this.
Yeah, clip away.
I might need
that Celsius.
I think that's why I'm okay with if they want to do. I was joking around. I think we talked about the one pod that you and I did. Like, run it back one last time with Hyde and Poyer. Like, maybe,
not okay with that.
I'm okay with it.
I think we saw this year.
I said the same thing, and I felt like a heartless person.
Oh my god. Sometimes there's tough decisions to make.
I agreed with you.
Last dance, and they can both ride off in the sunset together.
This was the last dance.
No, but Poyer's back.
Maybe. It's no guarantee. There is no guarantee.
That is...
It's a $2 million dead cap.
Give me that again, Jenna.
That is correct. No, that is interesting.
$2 million.
I didn't even...
Zero.
I didn't even...
Zero chance.
I didn't even comprehend...
Zero chance.
Fathom that.
The most go important, on. The most important position on the defense of Sean McDermott's defense, and they're going to go completely brand new? Zero chance.
What is your thought process? Explain.
Lost the step. It's a lot of plays that Jordan Poyer made in his sleep that he didn't make this past year. Now, they did find some different ways to use him that maybe that unlocks something that they feel that way. And you're right. Maybe they don't want to go cold turkey. Both of them are gone.
That's my fear.
But they were ready to let him walk a year ago.
Yeah.
They brought him back at their number with a very cap-friendly number for that second year for them.
Do you think, though, maybe he lost a step because there were so many new pieces?
Oh, that definitely contributed to it.
Yeah.
And the constant guys that were out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you too. You want to bring them all back, keep the old guys around.
Nope.
I said the same thing about Micah Hyde. And it hurt me to say it, though.
She had a soft spot for Jerry Hughes. Everybody else can all go. That's it. No. I learned my lesson the hard way.
I'm also telling you, number one, anybody, you know, you get to a certain point in this league, it's about what you, I'm not telling you, it's always what you can do. Mm-hmm. There are also positions that they value, and there's less ability to find somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like defensive tackle.
Yeah.
That's why an soon to be, I think, 34-year-old Daquan Jones could be back because they're going to prioritize. They need help. They have nobody on that D line.
No, but see, like, that's where I'd be okay with like clean slate. Like,
could be. It
young,
could be.
New defensive tackles.
But you're also, again, let's see how it all maps out.
Well, we're not in the building.
We got to clip that.
Oh, well, you guys want to run the whole roster back. You want everybody back? I heard Dan wants to sign Gabe to a 5-year deal.
We all know that's not true. Okay. Do we have to go?
I don't know. Whenever you're ready.
Okay. Well, let's talk defensive line then.
I was going to say one player I thought that we wanted to say, like, that you would make a priority that was on this year's team that you would want make a priority to bring back. Is there a player that you would have?
That is a free agent
that
now?
That is a free agent.
Whew.
Yeah, I don't.
Honestly, it's tough to say that there's anybody I would really prioritize, but I might say I saw enough in AJ Epenesa that I'd like him back.
That was mine.
I'd like him back.
I would want AJ back.
And that's going to be an interesting one because AJ's agent already knows that who's out there and interested, right? Yep. They can't. He's still property of the Bills, but that's the way it works.
Yep.
Epenesa is predicted to land a 2-year, $11.2 million.
That would work.
I think I could make that work.
I think I could make that work.
Yeah. Okay.
And so, he falls into the category of draft, develop, re-sign, which we know the Bills are very keen on. What about Leonard Floyd, though?
I think he's going to get paid again by somebody else.
He seems like a mercenary that goes around
every year,
gets 10 sacks, cashes a fat check for his 1-year deal, and then
honestly, respect.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
He did say, kind of alluded to that.
He's going where the money's going.
Yeah.
He also did say he wanted to be playing for a competitor. So
he won a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
I think that frees you up so much.
Yep. He's already got his ring.
Yeah. I still remember Leonard Floyd taking back a pick six against Nathan Peterman.
Oh, I remember when he
and
ended
I had
Aaron Rodgers' season.
I had that when he was with the Bears, and he was running back, and I have vividly, he's laughing, carrying the ball, running past me, and there's just Peterman in the background. And
you're
just
that's funny.
Oh, Nathan.
I remember when I called him Malcolm.
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
You said it to Vaughn.
Oh, I said it to Vaughn. That's right. And then Vaughn looked at me like, and then I later talked to Vaughn and I said, Vaughn, it's Malcolm Floyd. He played for the Chargers. And he gave me this look. I'm like, you played against him for in the same division. And he was a very good wide receiver. No relation to Leonard.
Correct.
But it's just the name. You know, I got a lot of names popping around in his head.
Ooh.
God. And Vaughn was like he'd never heard of him before.
A guy that's been in the league for 13 years.
Will this be 13?
You want a hot take for you real quick?
Here we go.
Ready?
Von Miller leads the Bills in sacks next year.
That's,
I mean, he could.
I feel,
it better be Greg Rousseau.
That's, yeah, that's fair.
Pressure on Bean.
Also, Leonard Floyd sacking Aaron Rodgers and then tearing his Achilles is
unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Really, truly was.
All right, so anybody else you guys want to bring back? You want to get Lorenzo Alexander back?
Okay,
here?
First of all,
I would bring Zoe back. And
I love Lorenzo Alexander. He was such a great person, great and interview, great cat like, guy.
He could still play.
He could still play.
He is jacked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could still play.
I would have liked him out there, given him some snaps against the Chiefs in that game.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
He might have been a better.
Yeah. But honestly, do you guys have another player that's a free agent? Because they got a lot of them.
They certainly do.
I mean, look, yeah, I like Floyd. I just don't think. I think he's going to be priced out.
I agree. I think for me it was AJ, and again it's because of the draft, develop, re-sign. I think he's a nice rotational piece.
Ty Johnson a free agent?
I think he's got 1 year left. Maybe I'm wrong.
What about? Oh my gosh.
Well, then the other move you're going to make is, and again, you guys are going to get emotional here. I think they're going to ask Mitch Morris to take a pay cut.
That's fair.
And I think he will.
Oh, you're okay with taking the man's money.
Yeah.
That's different.
I was
heartless.
Joe Biscaglia was talking about of The Athletic, talked about void years at the end of it, pretty much making it a 3-year deal, but it's a 1-year deal.
Yeah. Well, you're basically just saying, oh, we did sign a piece of paper with you that said we're going to pay you $8 million, mm-hmm. but we're only want to pay you $5 million.
Yeah.
How's that for you?
That usually goes over well.
Yeah.
What if the Bills draft a center?
Oh, they should be drafting
somebody. No, I'm in like first round.
Oh, I don't think so.
Just stir in the pot.
You're like Boomer.
Yeah, I would expect for Mitch Morris to take a pay cut. Or, well, in terms of what they do.
Heartless.
Stop it.
No heart.
Stop it. Don't you do that. All right. Anyone else? Bueller?
No, I think we're good.
I think we're good.
Okay, I do want to remind everyone, if you are watching this podcast on the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel, we appreciate it, but you can find our podcasts. Also, if you search Buffalo Plus anywhere you listen to podcasts, that's Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, please be sure to check out the Buffalo Plus audio-only podcast. Like I said, you can find that wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please be sure to subscribe to that as well.
And next week, Dan and I will be in Indianapolis. We are going to spend the whole time at St. Elmo's.
You know what I was thinking today as I was driving?
You were figuring what you're going to order.
I was sitting there today going, I'm 8 days away from, 8 days away from St. Elmo's.
And by the way, don't ever go in there and just order a special. Like when they go, oh, we have this cut of meat. This is a special.
You've ordered a special?
I ordered it the one time with Toby. The steak was more than my first car. It was a lot.
Yeah. It's also like, again, we've talked about it before. I think the NFL Combine is awesome. I love the NFL Combine. Jenna hates it. I think it's so incredible that the entire NFL universe shows up in Indianapolis.
And there's like three bars there. And so you'll know where to find them.
I just don't like the whole, I'm not a good networker.
Oh.
It's so funny. The first time we walked into St. Elmo's and it was just like Drew Rosenhaus, Ian Rappaport, and you're just sitting there like, wow.
And then Jerry Jones walks in with his whole team and, my buddy Sal Powell will be there.
Yep.
He's probably going to probably have dinner with him.
Say Dable will be there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gave him a big hug last year.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. It's not for me.
Also, this is probably something that should be talked about off air, but are we going to try and do these podcasts during the off season, hopefully, and release them Tuesday morning? Is that the plan? Like, do we want to set a date? We want the audience to know when we're going to have videos coming out on a consistent
Unless
basis.
Unless there is some other reason.
But,
yes.
Correct. But we're going to try and...
Correct.
That is correct. Have Tuesdays. And then if we do have something later on in the week, if that's
especially
a Thursday.
Especially for the offseason. Yep,
Thursday or Friday. But we're going to try and... You will wake up Tuesday morning to a new video on the YouTube channel or wherever you listen to your podcast.
This is different next week because Dan and I will be...
Full of content.
Kick you down, they say in Italian.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
Talk.
Is that any different than what you guys usually do?
No.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll have plenty of content on the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel. And we'll be doing these weekly podcasts throughout the off season. So please be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. We appreciate it. We're so close to 30,000.
And then,
that's so exciting.
Yeah.
And then we get that plaque.
We get a plaque.
I want that plaque.
Do you?
Very bad.
I didn't know you got a plaque.
Yeah.
100K.
I just saw Chris Long got his.
Yeah.
That's cool. We'll be hanging in the background. That's sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, for Dan and Mike, I'm Jenna. Thank you for watching the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel. Again, please be sure to like, comment, subscribe. We'll catch you next time here on Buffalo Plus. Oh my God. Were you not recording?
Buffalo Plus, your interactive look at the week in football, brought to you by Connors and Ferris.